Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to Live from Zarloth, a weekly improv newscast from the depths of space, hand-delivered to your ugly front door by Shoulder Knife. At this time, we ask that you relax, boot up your improbability drive, and enjoy. Long live Zarloth!
Good evening, subjects of the Empire. You are listening to Live from Zarloth, your number one resource for breaking news. I'm Herc Dercules.
And I'm Ron Speckman.
And it is our honor to bring you tonight's top stories from across the cosmos. Ow.
Oh, what's bothering you?
Oh, no, it's really fine.
Are you inconvenienced in some way?
Yeah, I went to the dentist this morning.
Right.
Had to have my teeth cleaned.
Not gonna ask.
You don't want to know?
I don't want to know.
You don't have a dentist on
You just keep talking.
Go mode?
No, we don't have a dentist. We don't have vents.
I mean, it's not for my vents, it's for my teeth.
No follow-up questions.
You don't want to know.
I have no desire to know, Herc. I couldn't want to know less than I do right now.
The humans of Earth... It's really not a big deal. I am a professional. I'll push through. I had a little bit of work done on my peef. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about old Herc. We're going to be fine.
No one's worried about old Herc.
Somebody might be somewhere out there. All right. Well, getting into today's...
Oh, you have no questions?
I mean, you're...
As if this isn't your doing?
Me? Why? What would I have to do with you being soaking wet and covered in mud and really looking very, very kind of put off? What? What did I do?
Oh, who knows? Who knows?
I sure don't.
Now, why would my priceless tailored suit, my lovely blazer, be completely soiled? Now, why would that be the case? I will tell you exactly why. The moment we went off air last week, I immediately climbed into my ship, and I headed directly for a certain swamp, a certain Okefenokee swamp. I drove my ship there as fast as is humanly possible.
You went all the way to Earth?
I went all the way to Earth. I spent the entirety of the last week, I was watching the time so I could get back here, and I had my eyes peeled. I did not sleep. I barely ate, and I looked for these beings, just anything that remotely resembled what I'd been described from a certain trustworthy news anchor. We're trying to get the trust of these beloved listeners anyways, right? And when you lie to your own anchor, how am I supposed to work like that? There wasn't any there! There weren't any of these beings. You know what there was? There was mud. There was swamp juice. There was this gator, as the locals called it, and he nibbled on my leg. And I didn't appreciate it much. He died after, but that's just because my skin is poisonous to him.
Naturally. I'm so deeply sorry that this happened to you. I'm going to say something, though. I have no idea what you're talking about, baby girl. Oh. You went to somewhere called the Okefenokee Swamp? You sound insane.
Are you gaslighting me?
Ron, you wouldn't know what gaslighting is.
Did I make that up?
You've made it up. It's not a real thing. There is no Okefenokee Swamp. There's no such thing as gaslighting, and you sound hysterical. Ron, what really happened?
No, you're cashing in on my delirium and my sleep deprivation. I am certain if I were to go back into the archives and listen to last week's episode, I am certain you spoke of a documentary that had Okefenokee Swamp and JJ. There was a JJ the jet plane.
Ron, you're scaring the producers and you're...
I'm not scaring anyone! I'm not scaring anyone!
You're sitting on the ground right now. What?
This guy's on the ground!
You're not even sitting in your chair.
I spent the last week standing. I want to sit down.
I'm deeply sorry, listeners. Our good friend Ron seems to be having some kind of mental episode that is in no way my fault. I really don't understand what's going on, but believe me when I say that I will maintain the level of professionalism that is needed to communicate everything that we bring to you on Live from Zarloff.
No, I've got it handled.
I could probably do it by myself.
I am still professional, fully capable. I was made for this kind of thing, and I don't need sleep.
Rosemary and carrots.
It made me brilliant.
In tonight's breaking news, something in my peef. The anesthetic is wearing off.
Oh, how inconvenienced you must be.
Breaking news again. Disaster has struck in the outer edges of the galaxy. The fiery planet Topham has plunged into a giant cup of pudding floating through space. The extreme atmosphere of Topham, combined with the refreshing flavors of the pudding, has left Tophamites caramelized, but not forgotten.
Hmm. It's probably the fact that I haven't eaten that's doing this.
Probably.
But the feelings I feel are not sympathy as much as they are yum-a-yum-a-yum-yum.
Yum, yum, yum. As someone who's delicious myself and will be even more delicious in a couple years, I think I'd like to give those Tophamites a try. I think
they're not doing anything else this week.
They're also still alive. They're just caramelized. They're not dead.
Oh. What's their life expectancy?
I mean, pretty long. You can, if you're just going to be like in a coat.
How long?
Probably like 30 days.
Pretty long for a caramelite.
Well, for a Tophamite in caramel.
Well, caramelite now.
I guess they're caramelites now. Nothing wrong with being a caramelite.
The real question that I guess I'm wondering is how long do they keep? Because if they have a shelf life of 5+ years, I wait for you to die, I eat you.
You're going to combine us into a delicious meal.
I'm not going to combine, but like as a meal.
Not put it into one thing, but have it like I'm the entree.
Correct.
And they're the dessert.
Correct.
I get that.
And then I can drink mud from the Okefenokee Swamp to wash you down.
Looks like you're already doing that, Ron.
Oh, I'm doing it.
What are you talking about? You just started rambling. I didn't say anything. You just started talking about the Okefenokee Swamp again.
My mind. My
Ron,
mind
are you okay?
Is,
I think your mind is broken.
My mind is perfectly fine. It's my body. My mind keeps telling me yes, but my body is also telling me yes.
Ron, it looks like there might be something crawling under your skin.
Stop it.
Am I seeing things?
There aren't bugs in my skin. There is news in my mind and nothing in my skin. And here's the news.
The news.
Magicus, the renowned explorer, is claiming to have discovered yet another rainy planet in the Outer Rims. He is elected to name it Fitness in honor of his body type. Many other explorers have been flocking to the new planet, but reports have indicated that they're only there for the showers.
Planet Fitness?
Well, I suppose you could call it that.
I think I might.
It has a purplish, goldish tone to its rings.
There was a period of time where I was planet hopping just to get showers. I was living out of my spaceship.
Oh, really? Oh, you were a lowlife.
It was just after thigh school.
Thigh school?
Yeah.
Where you studied thighs?
Yeah, it's kind of like middle education for lower bones.
It's so interesting. So you're telling me a Gorlobian such as yours...
Shut up. You just shut up. It's Glorbon. You know it.
I truly don't. At this hour, I don't. So your middle of your primary education was the study of a specific part of the leg. I studied the deeper meanings of planetary cores, and you studied a leg. Think about that.
I got to see all kinds of pictures. You were studying cores, you were studying gases and rocks, I was studying Glorbon thighs, because that's where the delicious gland is.
That's where the flavor resides?
That's where it comes from. It's all about this. You know, the end goal is living a good, full Glorbonian life, becoming delicious soup. If you don't take care of your thigh, well, you just might not be delicious. You see where I'm coming from? This is about the meaning of life. It's about the meaning of being a Glorbonian. It's about our higher calling as a species. And you were looking at rocks, Ron. You sound insane.
So you're telling me a Glorbonian like myself could theoretically take your thigh right now and have all the flavor? Which doesn't sound too bad as a starved individual.
It'd be pretty sour right now.
Why would it be sour?
It's gotta ferment. That's why the ripe age is 15.
I see.
I'm not done. I'm not cooked.
I can wait. I must wait.
I really hope that you do. You're looking awfully crazed over there, Ron. It's all these pills you've been popping off camera.
I've not been...
I mean, behind the mic. There's no cameras.
Are there cameras in here?
No, none that I put there.
Why would you say that?
Breaking news! Grand Minister Honey Eye of Volo Prime is in hot water after accusations have surfaced claiming that he was involved in the shrinking of the Kibs of Qibla. The Grand Minister denies the claims, but in this anchor's opinion, Honey Eye shrunk the Kibs. Over to you, Crazy Ron.
Firstly, it's just Ron. Secondly, you're not going to believe this.
You're right. I don't believe it. At the end of the day...
What you're not going to believe?
Oh.
Were you saying something?
Oh, Ron, I... Tomlin, can we... You need to get him, like some water or something. I don't know.
What I was going to say is as my starship was taking me to Earth...
Here we go again.
...to a certain swamp, I did have a little bit of time. It's a several-hour jaunt. I was able to watch a couple Earth pieces of media.
Oh.
One of which was a documentary entitled, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
You're lying.
I think I might be, yes. I don't know what's real anymore because that's clearly news and I know history repeats itself.
Ron, you're talking into a spoon. What has gotten into you?
I don't know who I am anymore.
So, tell me more about this supposed documentary called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is very close to this headline, this opinion that I just postulated about Honey Eye, the Grand Minister, shrinking the Kibs.
Who taught you the word postulated?
I know all kinds of things, Ron. I know big words like particular, and vehement, well, and vestibule.
Well done, you.
Well, thank you.
You're growing.
I know a couple of things.
You do actually look a little bit taller. I feel like I might be a parental figure.
No, I'm not growing. You're crazy taller. Again, Ron. Nothing Maybe. Is changing about old Herc.
I will say this. I don't know how Earth experienced some Honey, I Shrunk the Kids scenario in advance, and yet there was this machine and this inventor. It was all, frankly, a blur. I was... very emotional on that ride to Earth. The excitement got the better of me, so if I'm completely honest, I didn't pay full attention to the film.
Are you sure you weren't just dozing in your bed at home and you weren't imagining this swamp that you made up and this, now you're just making up documentaries? There's only a handful of documentaries on Earth and you're just making stuff up.
Well, then how did the mud get here? How am I covered in mud? There's no mud on Zarloff. This is Earth mud.
Maybe your home's just full of mud imported from Gomo.
My home is pristine. There is nothing but perfect economy of structure in my home. There is a bed in one room. There is a toothbrush in another room.
Oh.
We have Earth teeth. As Gomodians, there is one sink in another room,
peef.
A dishwasher in the other room, a couch in another, and a hologram viewing station in a room adjacent to the room with the couch, so you can watch it in the other room, but they don't clutter. It's perfectly constructed. It is also 17,000 square feet.
That is a big old place you got there.
It's honestly average for Gomod. It might even be humble, because that's what I am.
So it's just the more stuff you have, do you have to add a room for every new thing you get?
Pretty much. I was once gifted a toaster for Klon's Day, and
that's expensive. Then
I had to move.
Yeah, that is an expensive gift. Then I mean, imagine receiving like a paperweight.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to just come up with a whole new studio just for that.
You keep a couple spare attics just to be able to chuck those in there. Mm. But
so you're like the opposite of a hoarder.
Well, it feels a little derogatory to even be in the same sentence as a hoarder.
Are you hoarding rooms?
Well,
hoarding space.
Not
space. Grandly. But space. Theoretically.
I... Breaking news! Well, not so much breaking news as much as a delightful new segment. Earth summer is just around the bend. But for those who might be traveling to faraway planets for their very first time, we've got some traveling tips from our own capricious May on how you can make the most of your getaway in the endless void. What do you have for us, Capricious?
Absolutely, Ron. For those venturing into the great unknown for the very first time, it's important to remember that human-friendly oxygen isn't available at all spaceports, so be sure to make sure you've got a big old tank of that sweet, puffy, breathy breath when traveling to smaller ports. Otherwise, you might have a little oopsie with some exploding lungs, frowny face. No one wants that on vacation. Remember when exiting your Starcraft to be sure to let more advanced species exit first so you can mimic their behaviors and not embarrass yourself in front of all of us. Trying to find a bathroom, but there's nothing designed for humans. Pee in your pants. Pee in your pants. Little humans do it. You brought more clothes for a reason, right? Pee in your pants. What, you too scared? We're not watching. Do it. Don't think about it. Pee in your pants. Back to you, Ron.
Thank you very much, Capricious. Wise words from the travel guru herself.
Travel guru Capricious, we appreciate you. Humans, if I could boil all of this down, pee your pants.
It's the better way to travel.
Everybody does it. Nobody's watching.
No one's watching.
Just do it.
Do it right now.
Pee your pants.
Pee your pants right now.
You traveling?
Get ahead of yourself.
You walking?
Start practicing now.
Pee, pee, pee.
Pee, pee. In the pants.
Pee those pants, yep.
All that to say, you can trust Capricious more than any other soul in the galaxy when it comes to traveling. She's seen it all. There's not a planet Capricious has not yet visited. I bet even by this point she has arrived at a fitness discovered by Magix just recently.
I was, that's right. I bet there's quite a few people who wanted to check that out. That's a big deal. For everybody listening to the show and you might want to know more about Planet Fitness, you just go to their website, planetfitness.com. I'm just kidding. This is in no way an advertisement.
That would be very nice, though.
Be nice, though. Hey, Planet Fitness, hit us up.
I could afford more rooms.
Oh, yeah. Put more stuff in there. You could have a room for a barbell.
It's not so much about the stuff as much as it is about the things. Does that make sense?
Breaking news! In sports, the regular season of Tentacle Ball begins tomorrow.
Amen, hallelujah. Let it be. Mm-hmm. Take me to church. I will worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. Hallelujah. I'm Christian now.
That's a classic Tentacle Ball chant that he just did.
It's just a chant. I'm not Christian.
The regular season of Tentacle Ball begins tomorrow. Many fans are expecting great things from the Go Mode Marauders and their coach, Tug Yawiner.
Marad, Marad, Marad. Go Mode, Go Mode, Garad. Marad and Go Mode, Go Mode, Go Mode, Go Mode, Go Mode, Go Mode. Fight song.
Not even done yet. There's more.
I'm get excited. I'm sorry. Continue.
Many fans are expecting great things from the Go Mode Marauders and their coach, Tug Yawiner. After last year's championship, where the team traveled back in time to keep their parents from meeting, thus scoring the winning point. That was such a thrill to watch, was that championship game. You know, Tentacle Ball is fairly complicated, but at the heart of it, it's really simple. And it's about keeping your parents from meeting so that you score points.
That is the entire system of Tentacle Ball. Obviously, it's you have to get it past the goalie. The goalie has an...
The tentacle ball.
Exactly. Yeah. The tentacle ball, which is probably 15, 16 tentacles on the actual ball.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get it past a goalie. Now, this goalie is... Of course, we're going to hire the largest person you possibly can
to sit in this
goal. You need them to be huge. So, naturally, that individual has been well-fed. So, one strategy in tentacle ball is to go back into time and make it where their parents aren't doing well financially, so the child isn't fed well. We get that in our timeline now. More space to score a goal. You either don't have the meat. There's all manner of strategies.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got the time machines off the side that the blockers are blocking. Mm. But if someone gets in there and suddenly, your goalie disappears, well, you know that something happened. I watched a game last year. It was the Marauders again versus the Typhoons. And they were playing this game, and it was going into overtime after overtime after overtime.
16 or 17 hours deep.
I think it was a long game. Nobody's getting into the tubes. Nobody's going back in time. So eventually, this one little Typhoon, he slides between the blocker's legs, and he goes in the tube, and he goes back in time. He goes too far. He goes way too far. He ends up on Earth. He ends up in art school. And then nothing bad happened in this German art school.
Nothing bad ever happens in German art school, and it ended up being the downfall of this team. One of my favorite plays, and this goes back. This might be before your time. You were probably still scrubbing things downstairs.
Yeah, so I'm 10.
I doubt you saw the game. But the game, they still call it just the game out of how legendary it was.
I think I've seen these highlights, yeah.
Notoriously, one of the greatest goalkeepers for the Tylon Tylons was this goalie named Morobius. And Morobius was just the most butch, masculine, intense person you've ever seen in your life.
Scary. Scary player.
Spitting. Would find things to chew just to spit it during a match. He ate part of the goal one year. It was a penalty, naturally.
Of course. Set him back a bit.
And he stood by it afterwards. Just incredibly intense. And this genius player for Go Mode makes a crazy little play late in the 17th quarter. He sneaks in to one of these time machines, does a little distraction technique to get in there, goes back, and feeds his own mother various fruits and vegetables to ensure that he is born a woman. As a woman, he then seduces the goalie later in life. They go and live out their days on a farm. They have 17 kids. One for each quarter of the game.
Isn't that just great?
Genius playmaking. Years of dedication on example. And we're watching this happen live.
Watching it live?
They end up in the stands of the own game they're watching. And in his last moments before fading to the time continuum, the goalie looks and sees himself with his children and a beautiful wife that eerily resembles one of the opposing team's players. And you can still go back. I have a poster of it in a room in my house. It's the only thing in the room.
I think we'd all like to see that.
It's just the face the goalie is making when he realizes what has happened.
It wasn't fear. It wasn't anger. It was regret.
I would say a cosmic dread.
I think so.
An inevitability. He saw.
He's going to marry that other player no matter what.
He saw what happened. He realized he had been pruned from the tree of time itself. It is a majestic sport.
And then he faded away, and no one's ever seen him again. I mean, he's technically still there, but he's living this other new diverted version of him is living happily with his man wife.
Yeah. Man wife who is a woman.
Who is a woman.
Is a woman.
But in another life,
was a man.
Was a tentacle ball player who was so committed that he committed.
Mm. We do have a statue outside the Gomodian arena just for him. Her? Him. For him.
She can
come and pay homage. It's difficult.
It's because very,
that
it's
one is the
say.
Same individual.
Yes.
But also not.
Yes.
Because he returned. He was just feeding the mother vegetables.
Yes.
His own mother. it gets a little complicated.
It's a wonderful game, really. I think if you humans could ever just watch a tentacle ball game, it would all make sense.
Which is great news, because we're hosting one!
We are hosting a tentacle ball game.
That's right. Corporate tentacle ball for all employees of Live from Zarloff.
Live
and
from Zarloff.
You, the listeners, get to hear it in 3 months' time.
In 3 months' time. Tentacle ball live on Live from Zarloff. We are going to do a radio commentary of a live game of tentacle ball. Oh, how exciting.
You can give it a radio commentary. I'll be commentating pieces, but I plan to be on the pitch.
You're going to play in the game?
Oh, I want to play. Are you kidding me? Look at me, a specimen like myself. I'm playing.
I mean, you'll be okay, I think, but what if somebody goes back in time and then suddenly you're poofed?
Well, let's just say I have certain things in place to prevent this from happening. A good tentacle ball player is playing tentacle ball their entire life. You see, from the moment they're born, they have to be preparing for tentacle ball.
They have to have security.
They have to be ready for things that could have happened generations before. So for the last 800 years or so, there have been people paid to watch over my lineage just so I can play this game of corporate tentacle ball.
Just for this corporate game, because you were crafted for news.
Yes.
But also have guardians watching out so you can play tentacle ball.
Well, I really wanted to.
Do you feel like you actually have any control over your life and your destiny, Ron?
Well, absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Like what?
Well, if I didn't say that I wanted to play tentacle ball, they wouldn't have planned for the last 800 years to go this way.
But there's been guardians watching over before you were even crafted.
What about that is bad?
It just seems like they already knew that they wanted you to be tentacle balling before you were even crafted, but you were crafted for news. You're saying that you chose to play tentacle ball?
It's not my dad's dream. It's mine.
Well, that's about all the time that we have today.
I may be going to the planet known as Fitness for a shower myself, because I have delivered 30 minutes of incredible news.
It's been some kind of news. You were having a mental breakdown for a decent portion of it.
And I was incredible.
If you want to be part of the show, you send us an email at livefromzarloff@gmail.com. We will answer your questions. We will explore any news stories that you maybe have found that we haven't seen. And we'll just discuss any old thing. We'd love to hear from you. Send me some hot tips on Freemasonry. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear it all. Almost as much as I'd love to go wash up right now.
Ron's going to go take a bit of a wash. This has been Live from Zarloff with Herc Dercules.
And I'm Ron Spackman.
Good night.
This has been Live from Zarloff, a Shoulder Knife production. Herc Dercules was played by Joey Fajone. Ron Spackman was played by Andrew Fajone. This episode featured special guest Susanna Fajone as Capricious May. Art design by Bernadette Schwagel. Audio production by Joey Fajone. Theme music by Andrew Fajone. Want to keep up to date with Shoulder Knife and never miss a new episode? Follow us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow Live from Zarloff on Spotify and wherever you listen to your podcasts. To support Shoulder Knife and have access to future exclusive content, join our Patreon. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
But in this anchor's opinion, Honey Eye shrunk the kibs.